Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning and welcome. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
Welcome, Zeke. Glad you're in the studio today.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I know. So it's good to see you. Yeah. You looking younger.
No.
No? John's off today. He'll be back next week. Thank Chris Farrell for a great Best Of show he put together for us last week so we could have a little family time. We appreciate that. We have lines open, 704-570-1110. Taking home improvement questions, a little emphasis on air conditioning. It's that time of the season. We could talk about your furnace, too, but probably not on most people's minds these days.
No, not not with this weather.
So we're counting on you. Give us a call. We've been off. We're off a week, and weren't able to get any calls. I didn't get many emails last week, but we've been having a little bit of trouble with the the website was overloaded, I think is what they found out with the content. So they went in and cleaned it up. They did a few things. And so I think it was just down for like a minute at a time, and then it would be back up for 15 minutes or something like that. So we haven't been getting a lot of questions, and I'm not sure if that's what the problem was. But if you were trying to send a question or you need to send one, you can just send it to questions@askjohnanddave.com. Of course, the website's still there, and supposedly it's up according to our guy in Atlanta. So it's AskJohnAndDave.com, and it's open 24/7 if you can get in. Evidently, it's a busy place. Hey, so anything in the HVAC world we need to talk about? We hit last month on some of the changes that are coming up.
Those changes, you know, we're still down the road a little ways, but they're definitely coming. Just wondering what the availability on the equipment is going to be.
Yes, yeah, same thing. Because everything else, we still have a lot of things that are tough to get a hold of, or there's some extended wait times for some things. I know there was a time there that you guys were able to get standard equipment, but if you wanted the higher end or the higher SEER equipment,
that was not available.
How's that situation?
It's gotten much better. It's in pretty good shape. The biggest thing right now is on commercial package units.
All the big rooftop units. Yeah,
they're, you know.
So if you're
good luck,
so dress light if you're in a store that's missing one, I guess.
Yeah
that's. Yeah, my mother-in-law and we went to visit in Indiana. Her house was having some issues with air conditioning while we were there, and it's R22, 30-year-old Coleman unit. Now their air doesn't run like ours does here. You know, usually get a break in the night, and it really doesn't kick on until a little bit later in the day, but she sure misses it that wasn't working as well as it could have. But she had a little leak, and they were telling her about, she didn't understand about the R22 and how much money it cost.
I guess if you have a leak in R22 system, by the time you fix it and recharge the unit back up, you got a pretty hefty down payment towards a new system.
Right. Oh yeah. So it sounds like our buddy Scott Shelton is on Opal, and no, we don't have you dialed in, Scott. So just hang tight. We'll get you fixed up. Chris is answering some calls, And I know he'll be able to get you back up. We weren't, I didn't know we were expecting you today, but I'm glad you're here. And we'll get Scott Shelton on here in just a few minutes. He's was in the background. I didn't know he was. I thought he was still on vacation.
No, he's back.
All right, well, good. It's good. You're missing the party. Zeke brought donuts, Scott. anyway, we would love to hear from you. That's exactly what Michael has done. Let's get Michael in here. Hey, Michael, welcome to the program. How can we help?
Yeah, can you hear me all right?
We can.
Great. Hey, I have a system where the second floor, the registers are in the floor, and on the first floor, the registers are in the ceiling. And I've been talking to some HVAC contractors. I won't name them all. I won't name them. But some of them were saying that they, even though that the ductwork is designed for the whole home, that they would rather either reduce the size of the ductwork for the first floor, and they put a whole new system in the attic on the second floor. And I was kind of wondering, why would they have me go through the expense of doing that? And then also I was wondering about a sensor that could be placed on the second floor to help equal the HVAC on the two levels as far as the temperature differences.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. By the ductwork being in the floor, it's running in between the floor, there's no way to separate the upstairs from downstairs be able to zone it and have a different temperature upstairs than downstairs, or you know, be able to control it. And that's why they're talking about having to replace that or put a new duct system in the upstairs for the upstairs, just a unit by itself for upstairs. Or even if they go zoning, the only way to zone it is to have a new duct system in the attic.
Okay, but what about just a sensor to help equalize or to average the temperatures? Is that something that you've heard of?
Yeah, you can put a sensor and average the temperature, but it's still, you know, it's going to be average. You know, if it was
average 7-8 degrees temperature difference between each floor,
right?
Right. Okay, but that's better than what we currently have right now.
Not much.
One HVAC contractor was also saying that if you do the two systems, that we would also have more propensity in the future to run into mold issues.
Well, he's probably talking about short cycling, satisfying the thermostat before it ever runs long enough to take care of the humidity.
Yes, exactly, because the zones are you have one upstairs and one downstairs now, if that's the case.
Right. Well, zoning's the best way, right? Go ahead, Scott.
The house is on a slab built in the 80s or early 90s.
Yeah, built in the early 80s on a slab. Yep.
No access. So, I mean, I have seen where we've zoned those systems before, but we had to cut so many holes in the ceiling to put a damper on each individual duct that feeds downstairs and then each individual duct that feeds upstairs.
Yeah, and I have told every contractor that has come out here, every contractor that we know that we're going to have to get rid of or remove quite a bit of the first floor ceiling, which is beneficial for us because we would also like to have some electrical run to a new kind of front porch area.
So if you're willing to...
And things like that. So, I mean, but... Everybody is still skittish. I mean, I have talked to the best of the best, and some of them have totally said, oh, well, they've gotten out of the remodeling ductwork.
Sure.
HVAC right from the beginning.
Right.
If you're willing to take a good percentage of the ceiling down on the first floor to allow access and pay for the cost of replacing that ductwork with a new trunk for the main floor and then adding a duct system on the second floor, you'll be able to control your house the way you should.
Right.
They passed a law that was effective January 1st of 2010 that disallowed the type of duct system and setup that you have now. So houses built after 2010 don't have to worry about it, but those before could kind of be in the situation where you are. And it's not a hard fix, but it's not an inexpensive fix either.
No, we understand. I understand that. And so, then you would say that the soffits that are covering the ductwork would have to be all torn down and resized. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah,
I think as a contractor, that's what I would tell you as a general contractor. Listen, Mike, we've snuck past our break. Do you have more questions or we'll?
No, I really appreciate it.
Okay, we'll discuss this at length a little bit more when we come back from that break. We really appreciate you calling. Thank you.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
And we are back. It is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
And I am Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And we have lines open for you to give us a call, 704-570-1110. That's what Michael did, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But if you have any questions, any home improvement questions, it doesn't have to be about HVAC, but it's a good day to get those questions answered as well. So do that if you would. Michael's question was a good one, and I know you guys run into that from time to time. And if he's willing to take the ceilings out, which is really, I think it's the right thing to do, personally. Right. I mean, if it was my house and I was in, I would want it zoned, and be able to split two units, split one unit, or get that ductwork out and just have a system down and a system up. I mean, spending his money, of course, but when you get in that situation, I think you're as a general contractor. I would recommend that people hire a general contractor to go in and get that prepped and get it ready for the HVAC guys, because you can't expect because you guys aren't going to go in there and do that, are you, Zeke, Scott?
No, I mean
not the physical,
not the demo
construction work. No,
no, that's what I think that needs to be understood about that.
When you start,
but Zeke and I use the same sheetrock wizard who would be able to put it all back together,
right? Yeah.
Well, the biggest thing is also you start taking sheetrock, unexpected things that you might find. Once you take the ceiling out, you might have electrical issues that need to be addressed and
plumbing
stuff
lead,
like that. So,
right.
That's why, if he had a GC involved, we could,
That's familiar with that. So exactly. That's
take all care of all of
I like the way you're thinking, because that's the way I look at it. I mean, if you open that ceiling up and there's polybutylene pipe in there, get it out. If you have wiring, or you could expose some framing issues. If somebody cut a hole where it wasn't supposed to be, it could be strapped up and fixed. But I think Scott is right about that. In the end, he's going to be more comfortable, right?
Oh, comfort level be.
Well, in most of those houses, it was in one of two places. It was under the stairwell in the kitchen pantry, or it was in the garage.
Right. Yeah, makes it.
I was only going to say, if it were in the garage, it would make it a whole lot easier. But
right.
Either way, there's a lot of work to be done and some design work to, ensure his comfort.
Well, and let's talk about that a little bit, about design work on ductwork system, because, I mean, ideally, if you're cooling, isn't it better to have the cold air drop on you than, I mean. I know up north registers in the floor are more common because heat rises and you want it to go through you. But to me, I would rather have it in the ceiling.
Well, and that's where we would put the new ductwork for the second floor.
For the
sure.
second floor, so both of them would end up being in the ceiling.
In
right?
the ceiling, so you get the best of both worlds at that point.
Right.
Well, so the hardest part of that house would be in the wintertime.
The cold floors because of the concrete floor.
The floor. You have good ceiling fans to push that heat down to the floors.
Right, and you have an option for that, so which is great. Of course, you could, on a slab, you could always take all your flooring up. You could tile, put down heated floor if that's an issue. But, that's kind of that's something that John and I mentioned often. And unless you have heated floors, doesn't matter how high you keep your thermostat, your floors probably aren't going to warm up. So, thick socks are the most inexpensive way. And then after that, you could start thinking about putting heat in the floor. But, if you tile a floor and you put heat, it's not exorbitantly priced, but it's more than
it's a godsend on a cold day.
It is. And it's nice. And John will tell you in a minute, they did their bathroom floors in the house that they're in now. And And when they were in Charlotte the last time, they came and toured our house, and that's what Barb kept asking was, did we heat the floors and the bathrooms and the tile? And I was like, no, we didn't do it because we got too far along, and I just couldn't put anything else in this little thick head of mine. So
I was like, you do the floor and the surround on the tub where you might have a tendency to sit.
To sit, right. And then some folks put it behind the mirrors to keep them from fogging. So in a smaller bathroom, you would do that. We don't have that problem in our bathroom, but we have a fan in there that takes care of all that. But, yeah, so
it was about $8 a square foot. It wasn't expensive.
No, it's not. It's not. But it adds to it. So it adds to the cost of it. But I hope that helps Michael. That is a that's you know, when you inherit a house like that or you purchase a house and you don't know about those types of things until until it comes down to getting HVAC, and the HVAC guy tells you that, and you're like, what?
How much?
Yeah.
Yeah. So because you're redesigning, and then you're also tearing out what's already there. But he sounded like they have a few things that need to be done above the ceilings that would be helpful. So I mean, it's a great time if you want to put some other type of lighting in, maybe move some lights, maybe that light that's not perfectly centered over the dining table or whatever. You can take care of all that pretty easy.
You know, get rid of all that popcorn if it's still there.
That was well, I was kind of grinning when he said, I thought that's what Michael was going to say, was he said, hey, we can get rid of all the popcorn ceilings too. So, but yeah, so good for him. Well, I hope they get that done. I hope it works out for him. And I know if they do, they'll be much, they have a lot more comfort. So that's a good thing. We, speaking of, I was going to just brag just a second that, the last power bill we had at the house was $139. So, I mean, and we're comfortable. I mean, it's not cold. It's not hot. It's perfect in the house. And can't beat those systems, man. If you can fit it in the budget to upgrade to a higher SEER and do your duct work and do the things that need to be done, there's definitely some payback. Now, we foamed the attic, too, so Sky, I was going to ask you that too about if you foamed your attic, but we're getting close to a break. So, but did you foam your attic?
Well, my only question is, why is your bill so high, David?
Pool pump. That adds to it a little bit.
That adds to it.
Yeah, it does.
Zeke's got that expense now.
Yeah.
Well, I would suggest the variable speed pump that kept ours down. That's nice. It is nice. You have the timer and all that on. But with that said, we're going to get ready to take a break here. Lines are open, 704-570-1110. We'd love to hear from you. We're talking home improvement, HVAC. Get those questions ready. And we're going to get a few messages and some news, and we'll be back after this. All right, welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
All right. Appreciate you guys joining us. Hey, let's do the product of the week, the Home Depot product of the week. We'll get that taken care of. So it's really not a product. It's just kind of more of a service, but the Home Depot tool rental. And I know you guys know about it. I use it often. It's very convenient. Most any tools that you want to rent, from the bigger excavators to yard tools that you might need, or maybe you want to put up some crown molding, you could rent the saw, you could rent the nail gun, a little compressor. It's great. You can pick up your molding while you're there, and then get your tools, go home, get the job done, bring it back. They have great hours. Their hours are quite a bit different than a lot of the other tool rental places, so pretty good deal. And they're competitive, and a lot of times they're actually, it's even cheaper, to rent there, because I do it professionally. So I follow that stuff pretty close. But at the Home Depot, our product of the week is the Home Depot tool rental. Check that out. I think you'll agree. It's a great deal. All right. Lines open, 704-570-1110. Love to hear from you. We're talking, home improvement. HVAC is the major topic, but we'll answer any questions that you want to, anything you want to talk about as far as home improvement. Scott, we were, before the show, or before we knew you were there, I don't know if you heard me talking about my mother-in-law's unit up there is in need of being replaced in Indiana, and it's 30 years old. Still running. but not as. And I told her, I said, I don't know if you'll get another one to last long, but it might up there. I don't know. Doesn't run as often as it does here.
Yeah, but the units are still not as reliable. You know, they're not built to last like they used to be.
Not many things are. So, yeah. But so that was her situation. But she's kind of in a tough spot, and that house didn't have air conditioning. That unit was the first air conditioner that house ever had, other probably than window units. And it's a 100-year-old home, but they don't have returns in the upstairs, so you have to rely on the return downstairs to draw that air. And they don't really have a good way, other than construction. We would have to frame up a wall, bring it up from the basement all the way to the second floor of the house. It was a little humid. It was a little humid in there. I couldn't get the air moving upstairs. We had fans on, of course, that helps. But
is there no way to get a return all the way up to the second floor?
Well, her husband wanted to use the old chimney that they tore off of the roof, and it's deadheaded in the attic now. But he wanted to try to get a duct up that, but we couldn't do it. And I didn't know if it was possible to get it would be expensive, but to get somebody to go in there and line that.
Well, you can get the liners that we use for, you know, if we're putting an 80% furnace back in the crawl space, you can put that liner in there. It's a flexible,
right?
You know, expanse. Mm-hmm. You could do that.
That's what I was thinking, just to get that up there and if you could just get one in the hallway. Mm-hmm. And then undercut the doors if you wanted to close them. I'm sure she would just.
How big is the gap in the center of the chimney?
I think it was like 8-inch. So
it would be a small help. It's been, not
huge. That's kind of what I thought too. So we'll see what happens.
Do you know where Heathstead condos are over in Quail Hollow?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We replaced 2 months ago. We replaced a heat pump in a unit over there that was 41 years old.
Wow.
So you figure 41-year-old heat pump, it's basically an 82-year-old air conditioner.
Sure.
And it was still running. Not well, but it was still trying to cool the condo. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, that is. And you get them every once in a while. We'll get a water heater every once in a while we hear about that's 30, 35, or 40 years old. Not often, but you know it must be full in the bottom.
And they never flushed it, and it had 12 gallons of capacity.
Well, yeah, it takes a crane to get it out of the area that it's in. It's so heavy. But that was the thing. So when we talk about the flushing of the water heater, and that's a good idea if you do it from the beginning. But if you have one that's 5, 6, 7 years old, especially if you're on well water, you want to be cautious about that, because you might unearth a crack in the glass, and then all of a sudden it starts leaking. So sometimes you're better off just to prepare for the future and get some idea what it's going to cost you. Maybe budget a little bit each month and get ready for that change, and do it on your terms. You know, we kind of talk about the same thing with the HVAC system, right? You know, don't wait until it goes completely down. So, yeah.
Keep the weed eater away from it outside. Keep the weeds from growing through it.
Mm-hmm.
We keep the area clean.
We talked about that. John and I talked about that. That was a recap of when Zeke was here in June. And my favorite thing is to always put gravel around that unit. Put down a little landscape fabric, clear back the vegetation 2 or 3 feet, give the guys enough room to work. And then you never really have to get close to it. If you have to spray a little weed killer in the gravel once in a while, or pool weeds, it's not so bad. But boy, you don't get close to it with that weed eater, because I've hit mine before with it at one of my first homes, and I think that's probably where I learned to put gravel around it. That just keeps it clear and keeps it clean. Makes it dry as well. Drains away.
Well, go out and you see where people put out mulch every year, and it just keeps getting deeper around the AC unit.
Yeah, I don't.
Next thing you know, it's a foot up on the unit.
Yeah. Well, I've got an email that we'll talk a little bit on air, and that's about what it is. Is the guy's got a plant growing either underneath the wall or through the brick, up through the expansion joint between the concrete on a slab house. And he explained to me gave me a handful of things that were going on. So we'll talk a little bit about that, because I think it's a good topic for for the show, for the do's and the don'ts, especially for newer homeowners and maybe for some that just that don't realize that that can happen. Man, we're right up against a break, so let's do it. We're going to take a break. Give us a call, 704-570-1110. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
And I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
All right. Welcome back. We're glad you stayed with us. Lines are open, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'd be glad to take your home improvement questions. Little HVAC stuff. I was thinking what we were going to talk about something.
The grass.
Oh, yeah, about grass growing around the around the units and gravel. I don't know. I think we kind of beat that to death. But it's kind of an important thing. It's a nice little, just quick little project you could do on a cool day. Get the grass out. And if you put up some type of a retainer, you know, they make all types of things you could put around it to just hold the gravel back. The landscape fabric is always a good idea, and you can use silt fence. You could use plastic if you want. I like the idea of the something that's permeable, so the water will go through it. You don't want it, filling up, and they're like a swimming pool. But and then pea gravel around it, and just keep it down below the edging that you put around it, and that'll keep the gravel corralled, and you got a nice little place. If you don't like your HVAC guy, you can use that sharp gravel, that 57 stone that digs into the knees real nice.
As long as the electrical panel is on, don't be afraid to take a hose and rinse it really well and rinse that coil off.
Right, that's it. Yeah, while it's cleaned up, let's get Roy in here. Hey, Roy, welcome to the program. How can we help?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I've got an HVAC question.
Mm-hmm.
Just inherited my mom's house, and we've done a total remodel on it. It's a 4,600-square-foot house, but it's two stories. So upstairs got a new unit, and that's everything's working great up there. Downstairs is the majority of the square footage. It's got actually has a geothermal unit downstairs, and it seems to work pretty well. But the house is laid out really long. So at the very far end of the house where the return is, that's where the thermostat is. And it just seems like that thermostat doesn't have a clue what's going on in the other side of the house.
Yeah.
So the question is,
where the frost is building up?
No, it's everything seems to be working okay. It just seems like maybe that far end of the house might be getting a little cooler or not as cool because the thermostat down in the other end of the house is telling it one thing, whereas that other section down there that doesn't have a two-story section over the top of it might be getting a little warmer. So it just seems like maybe there ought to be another point of information that the unit needs, maybe a second thermostat or something along those lines to kind of give it more information to help more evenly distribute without having to split the unit or put valves or something to control the flow down that other end of the house. Am I thinking the right way? It's kind of where I'm going with that.
Yeah. Well, you can put a second sensor on the other end of the house and average the temperature between the two, but it's still not going to, it's just an average. It sounds like possibly just needing some balancing the ductwork to get more airflow on the other end of the house.
Was that an addition on that end of the house, or has it always been the same size?
Man, this house, you wouldn't believe this house. It started off around 800 square foot back in the 50s, and they added on a little more in the 60s, and they added on a little more in the 70s. Landed on the Lentgins last time in the 80s, and that's when they did the biggest thing. So it's just addition after addition after addition. So that's what we've done, is gone through and just said, okay, let's make all these additions look like one cohesive unit and the same style throughout. But the geothermal unit was put in probably about 10 years ago, and that's a sweet little deal that works really well. It's just that it's on one far end of the house, and probably 75 feet down the line is where the other end is, where the den is, where they're watching TV and the laundry and that sort of thing. So it's just got a lot of work to do, and it just feels like maybe it could use a little help on that other end, or maybe
was the ductwork ever updated? After the entire house was finished?
Yeah, the house originally never had air conditioning. You know, I grew up there as a kid that had window units when I was a kid, and it had, an oil furnace. So they pulled all that ductwork out and put new ductwork in. But in order to get it to that part of the house, it goes under the house for a while, then it runs up a chase and then across through the crawl space between the first and second floor and then dumps out in the ceiling in that far end down there. So like I say, it's got a long way to travel through that, all that flexible duct. But that's flexible duct's probably, I want to say it's 10 or 15 years old.
So with all of that said, I think the only way that you probably have any true control over it would be when that geothermal unit fails, maybe go to two systems, or if it has a lot of life left or you're going to use that same configuration in the future, you would probably want to zone that ductwork so that you
could... That's kind of what I was thinking, some type of damper system that helped us understand that it needed to shut off one end of the house and let more flow to the other.
All right, is this a house you're going to stay in, or are you guys going to turn it and sell it?
Man, we're in the middle of moving right now, so when you ask me that question, I don't ever intend to move again.
Wonderful. Well, you'll get used to it, and you know, maybe some good fan movement in the house could be a temporary fix until you know you guys figure out what the long term use is and how that. I know you said you weren't going to move, but whether you wanted to, it sounds like something we'd have to look at to really tell you what your real options are.
Okay. Like I said, I'm not dissatisfied with it. It just seemed like, with the advance of technology and these Nest thermostats and the way the smart thermostats, things like that, it just seemed like having more sensor points might have been a good idea. But if it's simply telling the unit come on and it's going to make the other end of the house that much colder or that much hotter, that's probably not the way to go.
So unless you have a way to turn off the air in between the unit and the other side of the house,
that makes sense.
Regardless of how many sensors, you just can't push that air far enough, since it sounds like it has a convoluted path, to get there.
That makes sense. Okay. Well, great. That helps a lot.
All right, Roy. Thanks, man. Great call.
Hey, thank you.
All appreciate it. Yeah, that's tough. That's and people just keep adding because you need it, and there's not really a plan involved, or what was probably originally there was fine, but as you add on, it becomes a problem. I know you guys both face that on a regular basis when people want to put an addition on or something. They say, "Well, can't we just use the existing system to do that?" And I'm like, no, you probably can't.
Right.
In most cases, because it's if it's designed properly, it's designed for the space that you already have.
Well, now if it's an addition,
What we run into at least once or twice a month.
Right, I bet you do. I do. That's it's one of the first things we always talk about. So when it used to be when we were doing room additions, I would look at you have to look at the electric panel. You have to know if you have that and what the AC situation is going to be. And of course now the rules have changed, as you say, Zeke. So it's going to have its own system. Usually a mini split, unless your old system is about finished. If it's time to replace it, then you can certainly add duct work and do the things that you need to do. So, hey, real quick, let's do this email we had. Larry had written and said they bought a two-story or a one-story house on a slab, and they noticed that plants were growing out of the baseboard at the back bedroom. He said that, as you said about the mulch, as you guys were talking about mulch being piled up around the unit, which is a no-no. It's the same thing with the foundation. You want 6 to 8 inches of clearance between the bottom of the siding and the mulch. It shouldn't be piled up that high. And then he also talked about there was a couple of crepe myrtles that were planted right beside the house. Now, whether they were planted or volunteer, who knows? But they very well could have gotten a twig or a vine that grew up and underneath the wall, because sometimes there's a gap underneath the bottom plate of the wall in the masonry that it sits on. A lot of times they don't put down the sill seal and or caulk. And so that could happen. Now, why it's growing into that room, I don't know. Usually it wants to go to light, So it's either moisture or light is what it's looking for. It likes both of them. But anyway, need to clear that out. That stuff needs to be cleared away. He said they were lowering the mulch a little at a time. And chances are you might not be able to have mulch. You might have to have gravel, which might be a better situation if it's that close to the ground. And then I say if the crepe myrtles are that close to the house, cut those down, get rid of the roots. and move those trees out and get them away from the house, you know, replant and get it a little further away is your best bet. To try to always keep that stuff 10, 15 feet away from the house if you can. Those roots will still make their way over there, but they won't be as bad. All right, we're going to have to take a break here. Lines are going to be open 704-570-1110. Give us a call there. Get them ready. Home improvement, a little HVAC going on here. We are glad you're listening, and we'll be back after these messages.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. It is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Zeke Acosta.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
All right. Glad you joined us. Say it again.
And I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
There you go. Lines open, 704-570-1110. We'd love to hear from you. Talking home improvement, a little HVAC in the mix here, or a lot of it. We certainly need it this time of year, that's for sure. It's awful humid out there. Temperatures have been high. I think the heat index is going to be in the danger zone again today, if I'm not mistaken. I know we started out, we talked a little bit about some changes that are coming. I guess we just need to probably rattle this off a little bit about this each month when you guys are on, so people that are going to be in the market kind of understand what's going on. So there's going to be a change in the size of the units because of efficiency.
New SEER ratings, right?
Right. And then I guess the refrigerant that's going to go in them is going to change as well. Is that right?
Right. The manufacturers would just get together and pick a refrigerant and be nice, but it looks like we're going to have it at least two, if not three, different refrigerants being used.
Oh wow! So, and each one of those is different,
right?
So they can't be crossed over.
No.
Oh, I don't know. What's your take on that, Scott?
I just wish they were a little more forthcoming with us, so we could, you know, better plan for it.
Right.
The change is coming soon. What is it? January 1st.
Yep.
And they've, to make things even more complicated, they've created a new scale by which they rate the equipment. So we had SEER rating, and now it's going to be called SEER 2 with, kind of a different set of testing parameters to where they could pick up some of the shortcomings in their old tests. But I don't think it's going to have a big impact initially. I mean, we're going from 14 SEER to 14 and a half SEER. I think the refrigerant change is what's going to be the biggest, the biggest hassle.
Right.
And like Zeke said, especially if we have more than one or two, that's just more space in our vans that we're going to eat up. And hopefully they're all relatively priced the same, because for what our existing refrigerants have done price wise, R22 is only recycled and it's gone up about maybe 800-900% in the last year and a half. And 410A has gone up about 450% in the last 2 years.
Wow. I didn't realize it had gone up that much. Everything else has, though, so I guess we should just go ahead and figure it, right? Wow.
We'll learn more, but we need time to know so we can do training, with our employees and be well-versed and ready to start utilizing it before they just spring it on us.
Well, I was thinking about also the size of the units where – As far as the physical footprint of a unit, there's probably some cases where the unit may not fit back in there. Is that possible? Especially if you went to a much higher SEER unit. I know my unit's 21 SEER or whatever it is, mm-hmm. And it's the biggest unit I've ever had on a house as far as physical size. It was planned and predetermined where it was going, so there was plenty of room for it. I was still a little shocked, when you physically see it. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
I think what they don't want to do is use double rows of coils.
Okay.
But, and we'll see we'll see new compressors, like these rotary compressors that have been in use for the last few years. I mean, it's the same compressor that you find in like a, you know, a window air conditioner.
Right. Or my
and those things last forever.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
But they're DC motors. So it means, you know, more efficient, you know, alternating outputs, but it also means more front end cost.
Right. Well, they're quieter too, right?
They're supposed to be. Yeah, definitely. DC motors are a lot quieter.
Yeah. Well, I know our exhaust fans in our bathrooms are Panasonics, and they're quieter. They're DC. Mm-hmm. It's converted over. So
So like when we went from R22 to R410A, the units got significantly quieter because that steel shell of that compressor is almost twice as thick because the unit works at almost double the operating pressure.
Right.
You know, our hope would be that in the future, the new refrigerant would actually drop back down to a lower operating pressure so that the equipment would actually last longer.
Sure. Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense, really.
We'll see. We'll let you know as soon as...
Yeah, when we find out.
Yeah, we'll let you know when we know. Yeah. Well,
lower pressures will, you know, reduce some of the leaky coils and stuff like that, so... it'd be nice if it was, you know, lower pressures.
Sure. All right. Well, I knew it was coming, and I wasn't sure what all was involved. I've heard little bits and pieces of it, and I guess it's all in the name of energy efficiency, right? I mean, isn't that what most of it's about?
It is.
Satisfying Big Brother.
Yeah. So, again, you know, I'll say this until they take us out of here one day. Insulation is your best friend. So if you're building a house and you have the opportunity to pick that insulation, or if you can push your builder, I really think you ought to be looking at some foam, at least for the attic in this climate. You know, colder climates, you may want to consider foaming the walls and maybe the crawl space. Where did I get my insulation, Scott? Anyway, Mike Patterson told me at Austin said that he said, don't do your walls, David, because you're not going to get your money back out of it here. He said, just do the attic. That's going to be your biggest bang for your buck. And he was right. So of course, the house is air sealed. But I know the equipment is very efficient, but if we had a hot attic where the ductwork was, I don't think we would be as efficient. So I think that combination made a huge difference. So if you have that choice, I would pay extra attention to what kind of windows you're putting in, the doors, how they seal, foam in the attic, and I think you'll really be on the saving side. You could spend a little bit of money, especially if you're building a new house, spend a little bit more on your ductwork and your unit, and I think you'll be in good shape. So. All right, hey, we're right up against the break, so we're going to take it. We'll be back with more home improvement right after this. And we are back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
All right, glad you joined us. Lines open, 704-570-1110. It's home improvement. Here we are. Saturday, like clockwork, 27 years of this. How about that? Mine was my 26th year in June. John had a year on me, so a little over a year. But glad we're doing it. Glad to be here, and we're glad you're with us. Hey, don't do this often enough, but wanted to mention the WBT app. If you don't have that on your smartphone or your computer, it's kind of a cool thing. Download that app, and you can listen anytime. You can go back and listen to shows that are, if you miss a little bit of it, you can go back and listen. Also, if you're not getting good reception somewhere or you're out of town and you want to listen, you know, as John says, if you don't have a life, check that out when you're on vacation. But the WBT app, check that out. It's a good thing to have. We have it on our phones, and we love it. Let's get Pop in here. Hey, Pop, how can we help?
How's it going this morning?
Great.
I've got a question about heat pump. I live out in the country. I got a propane gas furnace. So it's 40-plus years ago. He's talking a while ago, but long-lived plant, you know, plants or whatever. Anyhow, now I just, the unit's in the basin. I just wondered if, can you fit a heat pump in a basin? And I'm not sure about all, if the duct work, you know, would work for, you know, between the two.
Well, you can, and you could, you know, if your furnace is still in good shape and operable, you could keep the furnace and add a heat pump and make it a dual fuel system. If you're, it really comes down to how well and how sealed your duct system is.
Yeah.
Well, the heat pump just works on such a lower temperature rise.
Yeah, I got the floor trusses and I got flex duct that runs between, you know, between the floor trusses, and I've got openings. And all. So then my conditioning unit for the thing is outside, but yeah, the furnace is old, 42 years old, and it's still got the pilot light and all that stuff. So,
sounds like you're ready for an upgrade.
Yeah, I'm sort of planning and buzzing that because time catches up with all of us.
Is natural gas in your area now?
I got propane. I'm out in the country, so I'm out of propane.
You can replace
that. Then a heat pump would only make it more cost effective for you.
Yeah, you can put a new furnace in and a new heat pump outdoor unit and have dual fuel. More cost effective to operate.
Yeah. Okay, so you can.
When the heat pump is running, it could be 4 to 4.5 times cheaper to operate than running that furnace.
Yeah.
But when it gets real cold, you can switch it over. If you got propane, you could go to propane to get that initial blast of heat if you needed to warm things up quick.
Yeah.
I mean, let the furnace get you to the temperature, and then let the heat pump maintain it.
Yeah. So you can put a heat pump unit in the basement.
Well, yes, unit wouldn't go in the basement. The unit would go just where your air conditioning unit is outside now.
Okay.
But the coil, it should be a different indoor coil. It sits on top of your furnace that's attached to it.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, I figured that 42 years is probably going to give it a go for one of these.
Yeah, it's done a pretty good job.
Yeah, sure has. So, okay.
You might want to keep it and make an end table or something out of it.
Yeah. Okay, bye-bye.
Pop, we appreciate the call. Thanks for listening. All right. Lines open, 704-570-1110. Home improvement, HVAC. Want to talk a little air conditioning? We're all good with that. That's what we're here for. You guys, we were with Pop was talking about the dual fuel systems. Let's elaborate on that just a little bit, and then also I wanted to ask you guys a question about if you inspect ductwork. Scott, you said that if you switched over to a heat pump, you would want to make sure that the ductwork was sealed up. So is that what you look for, just to see if it's sealed, or is there a way to test it to see how much leakage there is? Both.
But I mean, if it's a 20-plus year old duct system and you're changing fuels, odds are at a minimum we probably, and if it's insulated on the exterior, it's almost impossible to seal it. You'd have to take the insulation off, seal it, and then re-insulate it. Well, by the time you've made that expense, it'd be more cost effective to just replace the duct system.
Right. So go
and
back.
And if we put back, you know, we seal it as we go along, we can guarantee that the air coming into the house is not being mixed with, you know, cold air or warm air from the crawl space or the attic, thereby giving you, you know, what you're paying for.
Right.
And when the manufacturers say that this is a 14 SEER unit or 18 SEER unit, it's when they test it, it's in a controlled environment with a completely sealed duct system.
Makes sense. So checking that and making sure, so if it doesn't have any mastic, if it's an older system, then you're better off, even if it's flex, correct? Go ahead and change that. Otherwise, you got to try to peel back the insulation. I mean, it's tough anyway in an attic or a crawl space. Doesn't matter. I mean, you could find fault in both when you're trying to do it. But I think a lot of folks don't realize that when a house is built and the duct system's put in, it's put in right after the plumbing. It's all open. There's no drywall. There's no insulation. The guys can work from underneath the joist, and they can work in the attic. They can work in the living space. Crawl space is you're still crawling around. Doesn't matter. But there's not insulation. There's not a lot of things in the way. So it makes it a little bit simpler. It gets a lot more difficult after insulation and wiring has been added. Of course, plumbing's almost always in no matter what, because he usually gets the first choice in there because his drain pipes got to go where they got to go. So, yeah.
No doubt. And sometimes we can't get to all of it, but we can, you know, it varies by house.
But. Sure, but you can make a big dent in it. I know.
So you think about how important the equipment is. Well, the duct system is equally important because it's delivering the product from, you know, the new equipment.
Kind of like having a pinched fuel line.
No doubt.
Not real helpful.
Or a leaky fuel line.
Exactly. Yeah. Really not helpful, especially today. Yeah. And the toughest place to seal the ductwork is probably going to be at the eaves of the house, where usually you'll find the boot for the duct is, and the register is by an outside wall, which is in the lowest portion of the attic. So not only do you have to be Gumby, but you have to wear a hard hat in there because you got nails sticking through the roof. You're trying not to get your head poked by a nail.
So normally what we do is re-insulate on the exterior of the boot, and
right,
then underneath take the register off and seal it to the sheetrock,
right, which is important. Someone called me the other day about that. What did they do about those gaps? And I said, well, in new construction or when they're renovating, they have to seal that metal boot to the flooring or to the drywall. So you use the same mastic, right? And it's a little little mesh tape.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's important because you get a lot of leakage there, and people, if you have mold or you have water staining around those registers, that's usually why, isn't it?
It's just
got number
air
one
mixing.
Reason.
Yeah.
Air mixing.
There could be a quarter or a half inch gap of exposed metal, you know, between the register and on the boot that just didn't get insulated all the way down. Because if you insulate it all the way down, it makes it a whole lot harder to put it in these metal frames that we use to, you know, to suspend the boot.
Right. Yeah, makes sense. Well, there's a little bit of insight into the complexities of installing that stuff, trying to seal it up. So we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. We're going to take a break. Line's open, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We're talking home improvement, HVAC, air conditioning, ventilation. Give us a call. We'd be glad to talk about that as well. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
And I am Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
All right, Connie, we see you. Hold just a second. We got to do our Home Depot product of the week. This week we're talking about the Home Depot tool rental for folks. Not every store has one, but there's several in Charlotte that do. If you need to rent any tools, if you have any projects going, it's great. I mean, they have just about any tool that you could want, from post drivers if you're driving T-posts to nail guns, compressors. They have aerators. They have little skid steers, trenchers, you name it, they have it. Great hours and great rates. So if you have a project before you decide to purchase a product, you think about renting that. And they have long-term rentals, so you can rent for a day, for a week, for a month. And obviously the longer you rent, the cheaper the daily rate becomes. So check that out. It's at the Home Depot Tool Rental. You'll be glad you did.
You know what cool tool I rented from there years ago?
What's that?
I put invisible fencing in the ground in my, you know, couple houses back.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the little trencher that it actually drops the wire in and then covers it back up as you?
Yeah, cuts a little trench in there for you. It's not even really a trench. It just kind of creates a crevice in the soil and pushes the wire down in there. I've used that tool before.
What a back saver.
Yeah, it is, man. It is nice. They have all kinds of little gadgets like that, so it's worth it. Buffers, if you need to scrub and wax a floor or anything, yeah, you can rent those. It's great. Sanders for sanding floors. I don't know if I would recommend that if you've never done it before, but it's usually kind of the professional's job, exactly. But yeah, so check them out, man. It's just really convenient because the hours are about the same as the store, and they're open 7 days a week. So. Good to work with, and the guys that take care of the equipment are outstanding as well. So, all right, we'll get that's out of the way. Let's get Connie in here. Hey, Miss Connie, how are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing fine, and shout out to Mr. Acosta. My son, Brooks Fuller, went to elementary school with his daughter, Lauren.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I've got a question regarding HVAC, and I'm glad you're doing this today. Last year, we came home from an out-of-town trip to discover a newly renovated master bathroom ceiling, David, I think you remember, that was dripping water, and apparently the condensation line had become clogged, and whatever is upstairs with that unit was overflowing, and the ceiling was wet underneath it. We had a real problem and had to do a major repair. We just got back from another out-of-town trip last week, and the ceiling in the master bath shower was again showing a tiny, and I mean tiny, bit of moisture. But we knew to call the plumber because the condensation line, we were told, was the domain of the plumber. So the guy came and unclogged it, put some chemical in it, and the problem has been resolved. But I did a little reading to find out that there might be some kind of pump that's needed in that area and a float to let you know when it's getting full in the condensation pan. And I don't know how to determine if we have a pump or if we need a pump.
These guys can explain that to you.
It is the drain terminating into the sewer piping of the house?
Yes.
Or is it the drain line itself from the AC coil?
You know, I do not know how to answer that question.
When was the house built?
1987.
Okay, so back then we could actually run our condensate line from the AC coil into your sewer. So you have a vent that goes up, you know, probably from a bathroom that has a T, and there's basically a trap that the AC condensate goes into. And it could be, you know, 10 or 12 gallons of water a day. If that drain clogs, there's not a switch or a float or a safety that cuts it off unless we could cut it down a little bit, put a big bowl on it, and put a wet switch or a float switch there that would cut the AC system off so it would stop generating water. We see that pretty often.
Okay.
So, you know, one of Zeke's guys, we would come out and take a look at it, determine. And then, you know, just fabricate that and put it together for you. And you wouldn't have to be paranoid when you come home from, you know, a vacation.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just curious why it never happened in 35 or so years until last year.
Just built up enough and still built up enough in there. If you're getting a little drip out of it, I would say. Right. I mean,
those drains are open to the attic.
Right.
So, you know, they get dust in them. The dirt divers could build, a nest there. There's a lot of reasons, but at least if you make sure when your AC is serviced each year that they flush chemicals through that trap as well, you know, the likelihood of it happening in the future goes way down.
Well, the one thing that the fellow who actually came on the 4th of July, but he made a recommendation I wanted to run by you because they are a normal HVAC company that's been used for probably 20, 25 years. He recommended once a month during cooling season, he recommended pouring a cup full of liquid plumber down that pipe as well as two large pitchers of very hot water.
Well, David would go with you on the hot water.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the hot water. I'm not a big fan of the liquid plumber because, Connie, here's the problem. If it backs up after that's been dumped in it, Now that plumber's got to deal with that acidic product that's been put in there, and especially in an attic, you know, if they have to run a snake or if they do anything like that, I plunge it or try to push air through it, it could blow up on them and get on them. So
okay.
I really like the hot water idea, and that's the best thing. So I guess the other question is it the big pipe that's clogging up? And that would be the question that I would want to know. Is it in the trap, or is it in the smaller line that's coming from the condensation line from the actual air mover?
It's probably the plumbing, but she asked about a pump. When you can use gravity, that would be the way to go. You wouldn't want to put a pump on it
right.
unless you had to.
Okay, so is this the domain of the plumber or the air conditioning guy?
Well, if it's
a little of both, but yeah. I think the solution would probably come from your HVAC guy.
Okay, so
because we would want to make sure if it is the plumbing and not the drain from the AC coil, we would want to fabricate a way that if that drain were ever to clog again, that it would cut off the AC unit and stop feeding it water that would overflow and damage the ceiling.
That's great. That's a great plan. That's a good safety measure there.
The ceiling.
Well,
savory.
We had an actual. It was a dual problem because our HVAC unit had frozen up while we were away. So we cut it off and it thawed out or whatever. And then they came and did a leak test. The HVAC people came and did a leak test on Tuesday and found that the evaporator coil was leaking and has to be replaced. And that system is about 15 years old. Mm. So I'm not surprised, but that's going to have to be done. So, I will, off air, get the numbers and so forth for you guys and either Scott or Mr. Acosta and give you a call because I think it's time for a second opinion.
Yes, ma'am. And I think, if it's 15 years old, it would be hard just to put a new coil in it. You may just find a solution that, gets you a new system and corrects the inequity in that drain issue and do it all at the same time.
Yeah, and while you're at it, I mean, as far as maybe getting that drain instead of going into that main sewer pipe, is run the drain somehow, be able to get the drain out of the attic and down to the outdoors without, so you won't have that problem.
That way you can keep an eye on it and see it dripping, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, well, Connie, I'm going to put you on hold. We're past a break here, so hold tight.
Thank you.
And, Pat, sorry we missed you there. Give us a call back. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more home improvement right after this. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I know Scott's there somewhere. All right, let's. We got Gigi holding. We're in the lightning round, so if you want to give us a call, go ahead and get it in there because this is the final segment, 704-570-1110. And for your listening pleasure, it's Gigi. How can we help?
Hey. Good morning. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday.
Hey, my husband was cleaning the air vents in our house. We have noticed we have a lot of dust, and it comes quickly. So he was cleaning the vent, and he opened up to the air duct, and he noticed that there was dust inside the air duct. And we don't know what to do, what would be the best thing to do cleaning this up. And I was wondering if you can help me or give me a suggestion.
Well, ductwork, it's the air not getting filtered depends on what kind of filters you're using.
The air duct that circulates through the house, so it keeps it cool. I'm not aware if we use a filter. I have put a filter on the air vent to see if that will, maybe control the dust. But my husband was saying, maybe we should clean the air ducts, and have the air. But our house is a little bit older. I'm afraid that we might be doing the wrong thing. What do you suggest? That we get a company there? Can that be done? Or we need to replace the air ducts?
Well, it depends on the age of the system and the age of the ductwork. It depends on... if you have metal ductwork that's insulated on the inside, or if insulated on the outside. So I can't really tell without, you know, looking at it. But if the ductwork is insulated on the inside, cleaning the ductwork is not really good because insulated on the inside, that fiberglass dust gets in and you can't get it all out. So you would have to end up replacing your ductwork. You need to have a filter in your return duct system. All systems need to have a filter. And if you're not changing your filters on a regular basis, or if you're using the fiberglass filters, those let a lot of dust through them, and that's how it adds up to your into your ductwork.
Right, we put a filter that is fairly nice and, you know, pricey on both upstairs, downstairs. Right. But it's still, you know, we get that dust and
I'm
sorry.
Sometimes those pricey filters have a lot of resistance in them, and if you have any air leaks in the return ductwork, it just pulls in more dust from under the house and from the attic that does not get filtered. It bypasses the filter. So it's really having to look. You have to look at your duct system to have it, you know, evaluate it to be able to let you know whether, you know, duct cleaning would be the thing or just, you know, a new duct system.
Right.
And I was going to ask you another thing, because the house is old, as in 1973, would it be like we have to replace the air duct totally? Or?
If it's it's very possible. If it's 73, the ductwork was not mandated to seal the joints, so all those joints leak, and that creates more air or dust leaking into your duct system.
Right.
So the replacing the duct system is probably the best solution.
Yeah, Scott talked a little bit about it earlier. Is that sometimes, you could go in and if it's insulated and peel back the insulation and seal the existing ductwork, and you could have it cleaned, and then you have to put the insulation back. But by the time you do all that, you're better off just to put updated ductwork in, right?
Right.
Yeah. So. And usually the return is that problem with sucking that dust into the house, and then it pulls it by. That goes into the furnace, and it's bypassing the filter. So, you could certainly have that problem. So I think getting somebody out there like Acosta Heating and Cooling or Charlotte Comfort Systems and let them evaluate all that, and then they can give you a real-time situation. It's possible they could just find a leak and take care of that. And then you could vacuum your ducts out as far as you can reach, and that'll probably take care of most of it. But
go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say so that they could vacuum it. They could go.
Well, they won't do that. They don't do that type of work. But you can do it if you take the vents off of the ceiling or out of the floor. You can take a shop vac with a flexible hose and push it back in there a little ways. And vacuum some of that out. Now, that's not going to get, if there's duct or dirt and dust all stuck to the inside of the ductwork, 10 feet away, you're not going to be able to get that. That's left to the professionals. But I think before I spend any money, I would do what Zeke said and get a company out there, let them put an eye on that system and the ductwork and see if they can help you determine what would be the best place to spend your money.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call, Gigi. Thanks for listening.
Okay. Have a nice Saturday.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We have time. Let's get Billy in here. Hey, Billy, we got a couple minutes. Go ahead. How can we help?
Yes. I have a wood deck that's 23 years old. I've used Behr stain for probably 6 or 7 times during that period. This year, I used a can of what I used before, which is a dark stain, and the new Behr stain that I'm sure I used the same stain, but this year it turned out a lot lighter.
Huh. Was it a stock color or something you had mixed? Yeah, there might have been a problem with that. If you've got some any evidence of that, that you could maybe take a picture if you have an old picture or an old can, you may want to just take that back in and talk to them. They have a pretty good warranty, but unfortunately, it's only for the product itself, so they won't compensate you for any of the of your labor. But if you need to strip that is it a solid stain or a semi-transparent or
semi-transparent?
Okay, so you don't have to strip it. So I would go back in and see if they wouldn't open up another can, see if you can get a sample of what you have, if you have some left, and take it in there and let them check it.
I've done that.
Okay.
And
I'm going to put you on hold, Billy. I'm sorry. I'm going to put you on hold. I'll finish you off the air, okay? Okay, with that said, Zeke, thanks for coming in. Scott, we appreciate it. You guys can reach out to those folks, and if you need to get them or you didn't hear their numbers or how to get a hold of them, send us a note at AskJohnAndDave.com, and we'll help you out there. In the meanwhile, we hope that you'll come back and listen to us next week, and we hope you'll remember that the most important kind of home improvement is the one that makes your home a happier place to live. We'll see you next week.